Hello, everyone. Sorry, I'm a couple minutes late. I was having a hard time getting my software to do what it was supposed to be doing. So let me get my shirt on correct, too. It's a brand new shirt. If anybody's wanting to know, this is a shirt from a friend of mine who she designs workout clothes. It's called Blessed Bodywear. We can put a link in here, and Emily is probably not on the call, but if somebody will go into Slack and ask her, there's a code. I don't know really what it is, but there is a code that if you like this shirt, I wear her tights and stuff. Her sizes only go up to, I believe, an extra large. I don't think they go any higher than that. But if you are in the small to extra large category and you like clothes that breathe and are look cute, I love her tights. I literally only own her tights. And I've been wearing her tights now for, oh my God, over 10 years. I mean, I've been wearing her tights so long that she changed the name of the company in the middle of the journey. That's how long I've been wearing her clothes. So anyway, I just love her pants and stuff. Anyway, I just thought I would give a shout out to Anna Tigra. Announcements. There are, guys, we only have a few swag boxes left for camp. So if you're coming, we are under the 200 mark in boxes. I believe the camp boxes started shipping either yesterday or they're shipping today for everybody who's registered. Once we run out of swag, we will rotate over to, digital workbooks only. So the price doesn't change, but once we run out of swag, we run out of swag. I ordered 2,500. That's how many of you are coming. the last time we did 2,100 people. So this time I bumped it up to 2,500. We are going to sell out swag. So don't wait around if you want to come to camp and you want the old shitty stress ball or the chip clips coasters, the don't eat shit plate. If you want the placemat, all the things, you can watch a video that I did last week. It's in the Facebook group. It's in the replays. You can watch that video to see what all's in the swag box. But once we run out of swag, then it will be register only, and you are registering only for the camp experience, and you will get your workbook digitally. You will not get the hard copy. All right. This week's calls are office hours with MJ. This Saturday is a call. It is Saturday at 10 a.m. It is coaching on binging and overeating. And my friend Jane will be on the call also. She is going to be taking us through the Binge Better 4-week course in December. So for all of you who want to work on your binge eating, December is going to be your month. She's going to be doing weekly calls on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Central Time. There's a program that goes, she's got a nice workbook that she's going to give you guys, all kinds of awesome things. And then on Sunday, the call will be with Coach MJ. I am going on vacation next week. So yay, Corinne. She's going on vacation. I'm taking a trip to Florida to see my mother, and my brother and his wife and his daughter are going, and then me and the boys, and then my mom and my uncle are all going to spend the week together for Thanksgiving. We've rented a house. I will be, if you don't know, I'm writing a book. I'm starting to interview editors this week. And I have picked editors from our own No BS because I like to support the women inside of our membership. And I'm going to be working on the second round. So I've wrote the book already. And the second phase is me going through it. The way I always like to do is just do a big thought download, basically, of everything that I would want to teach. And I'm a little over 50,000 words in. So the next part of my work is to read it and flesh stuff out and make it make sense and all that kind of stuff. And then the other thing is, don't forget, we've got three new coaches. Coach Julie started this week, so she introduced herself in the Facebook group. And then we have Coach Kim and Coach Yesenia. And so they're all here. They're all working now. They're doing the things. we want to train them a little bit, and then you'll start seeing them on some calls, and they are already starting to take personal clients. So if you don't know, we do have a one-on-one coaching service that we offer for anyone who wants to work privately on something that they really struggle with. Or even if you don't struggle with something, maybe you just want to work privately on, you've got a big goal or you've got a big dream and you really need someone who can help you get it done, who can help tap into your purpose and your motivations and figure some stuff out. That's what I use my coach for a lot, is just on getting out of my own way on all that stuff. This is my first book. Somebody asked. Yes, this is my first book. I believe the title, I may change it, but I swear to God, I want the title to be Stop Eating Like an or How to Stop Eating Like an Asshole. I just wanted to, like, the no BS way to lose your weight. So that's what I'm kicking around in my head, and it just feels so good. So we'll see. And then next week we have a special challenge for you guys. I was talking to the coaches, and one of the things that we were talking about is, now that we've gone through no BS together, we're into the handling the holidays. I was like, what would really help everyone during Thanksgiving week? And that is, we're going to do the on-the-clock hunger challenge. In your email that you get on Sunday will be all the information and this and exactly how to do it. But there's going to be Facebook posts all next week where each day you can comment about what you learned and what happened. But we came up with this from one of our accountability groups, the Hot Mess Express. It is a couple of years ago now. And it is just a really good way of being able to test your hunger side of doable hunger to make sure that you're waiting and that you get in touch with it more. So we have a system and a plan, and we're going to be doing it as a big group next week through the holidays. I will be doing it myself while I'm on vacation. It is just a good way to figure out those hunger cues, and you'll be doing it with all of us, and look for that in your email that comes out on Sundays. We always post the newsletter inside the Facebook group too. So you can find it in both places. All right. There's no publishers taking anything away from me. You know why? Corinne is a self-publisher. I'm just saying. I built this company from the ground up. Guess what's going to happen with my first book? This first book's going to be done from the ground up. Maybe it's the control freak in me. I don't know. But here's what I do know. I want it to be my book. And from what I understand from publishers and all that kind of stuff, sometimes you just lose some of your artistic control and stuff like that. Well, I don't want all that crap. So I am going to be doing it all on my own. And I'm good with that. Corinne knows how to do a lot of things. Let's put it that way. I believe in Corinne. Do you? All right. First question is from Zoe. I'm in sales and there's a new salesperson starting. I get highly competitive given commission only. I just always have this need to perform better, do better, be better. Any help on how to reassure myself I'm good enough? I know this is going to sound crazy when I say this, and this is probably brand new, Zoe, but the best way to reassure yourself that you're good enough is to start telling yourself you're good enough, and to start telling yourself why you're good enough each and every day. And you handwrite it, and you look throughout your day and you find reasons why. So you go back to yesterday, and you have to do this from the lens of, if I was looking for all of the ways, and here's the thing, stop, all of you, please stop trying to just be good enough. Like, can we just raise our fucking expectations for a hot second? Like, seriously. I think for some of you, it's like, well, I just need to, like, level up. And I need to, like, go from feeling like I do to good enough. It's like, no. You know what we need to do? Aim high. Like, it's a problem if all we want to do is get by. What if we just decide, Zoe, I'm amazing. I'm an amazing salesperson, and here's why. I don't need to be her. I already have. Because in my mind, here are all the things that make me amazing. Here's all the skills I bring. Here's my unique qualities. Here's all the things. think that there is anything wrong. I say, I'm looking for certainty. And this is something that literally debilitates my performance, right? You need the sales. This is the problem. You're relying on your action, like the actions producing something to say like, all right, then I get to feel good about myself. When I beat her ass, then I get to feel good. It's no different than when I lose weight, then I get to feel good. When I get that promotion, then I get to feel good. Guys, the only way that you ever get amazing things happening in your life is for you to lead the way for the amazing things to come in. That means you got to raise the bar on how you talk to yourself. You got to raise the bar. Like, if you guys want to get to goal weight, please don't sit there and say, like, well, I could, there's no way I could be happy until I reach my goal. Like, no, you know what you get to do? You need to think really hard about ways to be proud of yourself now. Most of you, I was going to do this exercise this morning, but I didn't get an opportunity to flesh it all out. But I want you guys to just think about when you hit whatever goal it is you want. We're doing this at camp. We're going to do the short version right now. What is like the one thing you think you're going to be feeling once you get there? And guys, if you're not ready to go all the way to your goal weight, maybe your past goal weight stuff, you want to work on getting a job or a promotion or whatever it is. Most of us want to lose weight. We want to get to our goal because we feel like I'll finally be proud of myself. Then I'll be able to be proud. Then I'll get to like myself. We think that our weight, or we think that beating someone else or being the number one salesperson or whatever is what causes us to feel the way we do. And the problem is you aren't listening to module 2 of No BS near enough. Put it on repeat about 10 times. Then go to Thought Boot Camp and listen to it 10 times. You literally feel the way you do today, and you will feel the way you will feel when you get there because of the thoughts that you deliberately and on purposely condition yourself to think over time. It will not be because you finally weigh what you want to weigh. Like, you know, this entire time, I thought, you're a lazy bitch. You can't ever do the things you set your mind out to. You don't like suddenly weigh 150 pounds and be like, oh my God, no matter what I do in life, I'm going to be a success. You'll get there and yes, you will have triggered a few good thoughts. Just like when Zoe stomps girl's ass in sales, she'll be like, oh, thank God, I'm better than her. Except her brain goes back to, well, you better keep it up. It's only a matter of time. How long is this even going to last? That is the same thing that happens with our goal weight. This is why I keep telling you guys, it is important to think about whatever you think you're going to feel when you get to your goal. You have to start figuring out now, all right, where are those places that I can start doing it today? So let's say there's the 150 pound Corinne and then there's the 250 pound Corinne. And I know the reason why I lost weight was because I was able to bridge the gap. I didn't know how much I was going to, like guys, I didn't know I was going to hit my goal weight. But what I did know, and I've told you this thousands and thousands of times, is that as I was losing weight, I kept thinking, that's the shit the old me used to think. I can't afford to think that anymore. I knew in my head that when I would weigh in and I would think, fuck, it's taking too long. I would think, oh my gosh, that feels so bad. I can't afford to sit around and feel bad about myself because I knew it had finally clicked into me. If I sat around feeling bad about myself, I was likely to want to eat. I was more likely to want to give up. It was the kind of talk that allowed me to ditch all of my work. And so when I would have those things come in, it was what I was thinking is like my back talk. Like I would be like, oh my gosh, here's my old thinking. And rather than getting mad and getting upset that it was there and frustrated that I didn't believe in myself more, because we go through different stages. Old shitty comes walking in. So let's all do this. Everybody has this experience. We weigh in we've been doing all the things, and it's been 3 weeks and the scale's not moved. Like maybe week one and two, we hung in there. We're like, all right, we're no BS woman. We're going to keep going. I've heard all Corinne's podcasts. Week three is like, here's old shitty. And old shitty is like, oh my God, we're never going to lose weight. This is fucking taking forever. Why bother doing all this shit if we're not going to lose our weight? So for 2 weeks, maybe we were proud of everything we were doing. Maybe each time that we showed up, we're like, yes, Corinne, way to go. Good job. Like all that stuff. On that way in, though, old shitty is like, why bother doing all that shit? And he starts describing all of our work as if it's hard. It's too much. He's just like thinking about everything terribly. And then you come in. I need a little queen's squeegee is what I need. You come in with your new thinking. You're like, no, you know what? We have worked really hard. We have been showing up for ourselves. We get to feel proud of how we've been showing up for ourselves. We've been choosing to eat this way every single time. Here are all the benefits of it. We come in and we argue for the proud version of us. We know the version of us that loses all of her weight is fucking amazed at herself. She's proud. She's confident. She's assured. Guess what? The moment the scale doesn't act the way it needs, guess what we have to do? Tap in to that line of thinking. And just be like, well, shitty, you're just not needed today. I got other shit to think about. The reason we do it is because you have to decondition those old thoughts. And you have to do it enough with enough times, with enough old shitties to come in to where your brain starts unlearning that kind of talk is necessary. It starts getting reprogrammed and deconditioned. Eventually, that kind of thinking comes up very rarely. Only certain things trigger it. But you get better and better at catching it. And when you stay out of your diaper about it, when you do not apply self-criticism for not having amazing thoughts, then you open the door to be able to apply loving ourselves, feeling amazing about ourselves, rebuilding our self-image, our self-regard, and our self-worth. The only way we get to our goals, no matter what they are in life, is paved with a reprogramming of who we are. Because wherever you're at right now is just a product of everything that you've allowed yourself to believe about you up until this point. Now, I know a lot of you don't have terrible, terrible thoughts about yourself, but you have limiting thoughts about yourself. I'm good enough. That sounds so innocent. I'm pretty happy. I mean, life's pretty good. I think all of that's great, but I want to ask you, for all of you who are living in that world, why isn't it amazing? What do you think about during the day where it's just kind of like, just getting by. I got by another day. I'm happy. But I'm kind of overeating. What are the little things? Do you think you're busy? Do you feel like, well, I could do it if it wasn't for this? That's just a subtle version of victim mentality. Well, I could do it if I wasn't taking care of my kids. You know, they really need me. Like, I'm a very involved mom. That sounds amazing, except it's saying, I have dreams and aspirations for myself, and these little fuckers over here get in the way. That is the exact same thought. So we have to watch for, where are we playing small? Where are we thinking small? Why are we not thinking bigger for ourselves? I know for me personally, one of the things that I work on with my coach is really appreciating myself to the nth degree. Like, there's so much that I can take in But then I hit like a limit and it gets uncomfortable. It's like, what is it going to, like, she asked me a question the other day, like, what is it going to take for me to just feel amazing as often as possible? To not take myself out of feeling amazing because of just, I think I'm not supposed to feel great right now. And she was like, who says? Like, uncovering that stuff is magic. So Zoe, I hope that was helpful. Mindy, I've noticed in my thought downloads that I'm having a hard time getting my thoughts on paper. I feel like I have to think about what I'm writing. That's okay. That's not having a hard time. Listen to this. I'm having a hard time getting my thoughts on paper. Well, that feels like shit. That feels difficult. That feels all the things. What if you just said, today I'm going to think about what I'm fixing to write. I'm going to sit here and take the time to just think about what I might want to write about today. That to me feels luscious and like a gift. You've assumed that it's a problem. How do you just write to get the thoughts out of my head without it being censored? Well, how about just at first you just censor yourself and just write, I'm censoring. Just note all the things that you feel like are censored. Then tomorrow, take one of those thoughts and say, I just want to write about this one. Or you could do a thought download on why do I feel like I need to censor? What am I worried that will happen if I just write down whatever comes into my mind no matter what? So there's that side of it. And then sometimes, guys, a lot of the censoring comes from this thought that there are bad ones. There are ones that will hurt us. If I keep thinking this, I'm fucked. There's no bad thoughts. The moment that you don't have bad thoughts, the moment like you no longer believe there are any bad thoughts, is the moment that you're like, oh, they're all just sentences. And my job is to be alert and pick and choose the ones I like to keep and then reframe the ones that I'm like, well, we could do a little better on this one. This one I think we could do better. That's it. Like, thought work is not deep. Thought work is not complicated. It's not like I gotta go and excavate my wounds until I'm dying. Like, it's none of that. My thought work is super basic. I know y'all think I'm some mental ninja, but you know why I'm always sounding off light bulbs and I feel like y'all think I'm some guru with mental ninja skills? It's a no. You know what I do in my coaching? I take your busted thought and I give you a new perspective. And y'all are like, for fuck's sake, what? Say that one more time. That's all I do. I just sit here and come up with alternate thoughts for you until we land on one where you're like, you mean I could think that? A lot of you, it's just about getting the permission to think something new. And that permission needs to just come from you. And that all starts with, do you mean I literally get to think whatever I want? You do get to think whatever you want. Here's the thing. You always have been doing that. It's just a lot of you aren't very selective about what you think. You just kind of let it play on autopilot all the time and wonder why you kind of live ho-hum, neutral, not exciting. Your days are just getting by. You end the day exhausted or tired. Like, a lot of you don't have like a bullshit life. You just have bullshit you allow yourself to think that drags you down. It's like if we were all going to go do a race and I said, this half is the side that's going to decide how they think and feel. It would be like, hey, y'all, I'm going to give you an energy drink and a 10-minute head start. This half over here, you just got to show up with your normal bullshit thinking. Like, just like, ooh, it's going to be a long race. Hope I finish. I hope it's not hilly. I wonder if it's going to be hot. Like, you have to keep all that. So with you, no energy drink, and you got to wear a backpack with 20 pounds on it. Now go. Who do you think wins the race? Who do you think feels better afterward? And most of us are running the race of life with a 20-pound backpack and wondering why every single day It's physically exhausting and our joints are hurting. It's like we're carrying around 20 pounds of mental weight all day long. That's why you need to eat at night. I coach y'all day in and day out, and here's what I hear every single time. I do real good up until night. I don't know what happens at night, Corinne. I'm just so tired. I'm so exhausted. I need a break. The break you need has nothing to do with your day. The break you need is coming from how you allow yourself to think about you and your world all day long. If you are sitting around always thinking there's not enough time, every time, no matter, like, you see people and the first thing you do is worry about what they're thinking about you, that's heavy. If every time you sit down to take, let's say you're a stay-at-home mom, and if every time you decide to sit down and take a break, all you do is beat yourself up for not doing more chores, guess what? You'll want to eat while you sit down so that you're not beating yourself up over doing chores. What is the solution? Use it as an opportunity to learn how to tell yourself why you're a badass mom, why you deserve a break, why taking a break has nothing to fucking do with your children's futures. All right. I've had three really good days in a row and want to continue this momentum into the end of the week and the weekend. Can you talk about building on recent wins to build better results? Super simple. You've had three really good days in a row. Write down what made them good. Like, write the actions. Like, your thoughts will be, because I did this and I did this and I did this. The only reason why you did those things was because you had thinking that got you there. So figure out the thinking that allowed you to make those choices, and then identify how can I have those thoughts over the next 5 days. And write those thoughts down on sticky notes and put them every single place you can find. Repeat them as often as you can. The second part is I want you to take how proud you are of yourself. Like, I've got really good momentum. Now, I want you to be proud of yourself. I actually want you to write about how fucking awesome you are for doing that, how you've showed up like a boss, how this has set you up for greatness. Like, I want you to write it like you were going to write it for, let's say Oprah had three good days and you had to like Oprah said, I'm going to give you $50,000. Here's what I'd like for you to do. I would like for you to write how I'm going to talk to myself about the last 3 days I showed up for myself so that I can finish out this week strong. If Oprah was going to pay you $50,000, what script would you write? That's the one you write for you. What this does is it locks in your identity as someone who got that shit done. It lets you see there was nothing in the world that created it. It wasn't because, like, I love it when you guys stay on plan or do great things and you say, well, it's because, you know, Monday through Friday I'm at work and I have a routine. That's not the fuck why you stay on plan. There are so many people in this membership who are off plan during the week, and guess what they are? At work with a routine. Quit giving away your greatness. Own every decision. You tell yourselves right now, the reason why these amazing things happen is because of the thoughts I let myself think, and it was these bad boys. This is me learning. This is me learning that I make shit happen. The world can't stop my shit, and the world can't make my shit happen either. I take all responsibility. Some of the best ways to start learning how responsible you are for your life is to take credit for all the things that you're doing that are awesome. Every little awesome thing. If your kid figures out today how to wipe their own ass, you need to take all the credit. Yes, because I showed up every day with a wet wipe showing their little butt how to do it. Yay me. And the reason why they know how to wipe their ass now is because every day I told myself, I'm a great mom. I love this kid. One of these days, this kid's going to know how to wipe their ass. Whatever it is. The only reason why things happen is because you think and feel something. That is exactly how we get to where we are at any given point. So if you want to be at a different point in your life, you need to start identifying the thinking that's got you to this point and how the hell can I level it up? Because that will take me to the next level. What kind of journaling and thought work will help me with mourning the loss of the fullness feeling after a meal? My conscious brain knows I don't need any food, but my habit brain goes crazy trying to find more food options to keep eating. I would just start telling myself the reasons why I would like to feel full are because, and then list those out so that you know the reasons why. I think this is really important. I get this one. Fullness has been the one that, like, I've worked on all the years, even through maintenance. I always tell people, like, if I ever get to the point to where the desire to feel full goes away, that's going to be an insane day. I hope it comes, but I think I have so much early childhood conditioning to feeling full with. It was sometimes the only time that my family did ever see each other. Sometimes meals were the only time when we would eat a lot. Sometimes that was the only time that I got to spend time with my mom because she worked so many hours and stuff. There were other times, and when we would go, we would eat a lot because sometimes we didn't always know when our next meal was coming. So I had a lot of early childhood conditioning around fullness being tied to connection, fullness being tied to safety, like food safety. I had a lot of connection with fullness being an escape from self-loathing because, you know, I would come home from school, be bullied all day long, and I would eat. And I would finally feel like I could relax in my own body. Like it was probably in my childhood memories, I felt like I was relaxing. It was like the only time when I felt like I was back to being a kid and not just being someone who was being bullied. So even at this age, I mean, I'm 46, and there are times when I will catch myself where I'm back to eating a little past full, and I'm having old thoughts that come up. So what I do is I just want to know the thoughts. Because when I know them, then I can hear them. And rather than going like, oh my God, I wish this was something, I don't do any of that. I then go to all of my thoughts and I give myself reassuring statements of why stopping is going to be better. And I think that that's like a big key for all of you is that as you are figuring out things that, like the stuff when it comes to the four basics, like if you're following your plan, waiting for hunger and all this other stuff, and you notice like time and time again that you're just not doing it. Most of you aren't doing it because of a fear of letting go the certainty of whatever feeling it's creating to not do it. And you're in your mind, the exchange to do what I teach you is worse than what you're telling yourself. So if you're telling yourself over and over again, it's just so sad to end my meal. Well, that's a shitty thought to be having, right? I mean, that's just the one you're having. It's not that it is. It just feels true. Because for so many years, that's what you've done. But that isn't true. So it's like one of those thoughts where you want to know when you're having it. And then what you want to do is you want to say like, but if I stop before I'm full, if I stop it enough, I get to experience the excitement of waking up the next day motivated. So it's like a lot of you will do this. It's just so sad to stop when I'm eating enough. Well, I'm going to have to get serious because if I ever want to lose this weight, I'm just going to have to stop and let it suck. And then y'all sit there and be like, Corinne, can you just coach me? I have no idea why I would ever like be just not doing it. I just can't wrap my mind around it. It's like, I don't know. That'd be like me saying, I heard there's an axe murderer in that really dark garage over there with all the chainsaws hanging. Hey, tonight at midnight, will you go explore it and see what happens? We have to get better at understanding if our current story is comfortable and feels true, but it's not helpful, then we need to change the story a little bit when we hear it to something that feels motivating, worthy, exciting, like, God, it's just got to feel good. So it's like thinking about that. Yeah. This is one of my favorite names for a group, the Ballers. I'm always talking about how I'm like balling up. So I don't know if y'all know that my mentor's name is Brooke Castillo of the Life Coach School. And I was slacking her privately yesterday. We have a Slack channel for all of us. And I slacked her privately yesterday and was just talking about how I'm a baller and something. I didn't remember. Oh, I was watching some. So I'm studying for camp right now. And I'm writing all the videos and the scripts and like all the stuff that we're going to be doing that I'm going to be teaching. So I spend usually 2 months studying before every camp on just getting deep into material for you guys. So I went back to 2016 and 2017 trainings that we've done and was watching some old stuff. And it was Baby Corinne. And Baby Corinne, first of all, I had 138 members. I'm not joking. I found a video where I was talking about how I had 138 members. How I love how I described it, how it was very overwhelming. I was like, Baby Corinne needed to do some thought work back then. But I was just, I don't know. But the whole time I was sitting there watching myself, and I want to tell you guys this story because I think it's important. I keep telling you how you think about your future is everything. And in these videos, they were over the course of about 3 to 4 months. I was in every one of them. We were like in a meeting and there was about 40 of us. And Brooke would call on me in these meetings and I would just be talking about my future. We had one video about it was called The Future Game. We had another one called Wanting from Abundance. Just the stuff that I'm going to be teaching at January camp. And every one of them, I shit you not, I'm sitting there watching myself in 2016 and 17 when I had 138 members talking about how I was going to change the world. And talking about how I was working on believing in myself and that every day, like you could just watch me in the videos. Just taking every note and listening to every word. She was giving me feedback on failing and being willing to. I remember this was a hard time for me because when my membership was smaller, we had a lot of people that I'd worked with for years. And when I decided I wanted to change the world, there was 138 people. And only 80 of them stayed. In one of the videos, I talked about how one of them called me on the phone to let me know that I was, I didn't care about them anymore and all kinds of stuff. And in the video, I kept saying, as bad as it hurts that people think that I don't want to help them, I know there are people out there who need me. And I just know I got, like I just kept saying, I just know I've got so much to offer. And I'm going to have to figure out how to, like, go for the person who needs me and let go of people who no longer need me, who no longer want what I have. And I mean, it was crazy watching it. And I was sitting there the whole time saying, as bad as it feels right now, I know it's because of my thoughts, but I just believe there's something better, that there's something bigger for me, that I am going to change lives. And I swear to God, y'all, had it not been for, I keep calling her Baby Corinne. Baby Corinne suffered a lot with her thinking and had to work through. I got so much criticism from people. I literally, you guys will shit when I say this. I had people angry at me, texting me, calling me, and quitting our membership because I decided to go from charging $5.95 to $15.95. And I swear to God, I was as there for them back then as I am there for you today. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, I fucked up. I shouldn't do this. Like I had all, you want to, where did he go? Old Shitty was large and in charge in this head. But there was also new Corinne. And she, I did not know how I was going to be her. I did not know what it would look like. I just decided to just really believe so that every time old Shitty came in, I was like, I'm willing to feel bad now because I know there's bigger things on the horizon. There's more women to help. My mission is changing. And I stayed in the balance of switching between those voices all the time. I felt like I burned my skin off for 2 years to be able to now, you know, when somebody doesn't like me, when people have shitty opinions, when social media goes berserk over something that I say, and I don't mean in the good way, I immediately go to, I get it. I don't even always like what I say. And I let it go. I have all of it helped me overcome opinions. And the reason why I share that with you is because I watched myself believe. I watched myself make myself think new things when I did not know how it was going to happen, what was going to turn out. I would have never believed that I'd have 10,000 women in my membership on the day that I was crying about 138 of them, and I was fixing to lose almost half. Not one of you can tell me that I would have ever believed that story. But I didn't need to know what was going to happen. I needed to know who I was going to be. That's what I want for all of you. That's one of the big emphases of camp. And you're going to hear me talk about it the next 2 months on the lead up. If you know who you want to be and you hang on to the idea of her, and all day long, you keep gut checking yourself, you listen for old Shitty to come up. If you really know who you want to be, old Shitty should be louder and more frequent. You know what the biggest problem we all have? Is when we don't even know that this is happening. That's when we've lost touch. That's when we're a victim of circumstances. That's when we go through life blaming. That's when we don't believe. You need old Shitty. You need it so loud and so frequent. I know that when you guys are telling me, like, it just keeps coming back, that I know that you must be trying to think new things. That is the first indicator to me that you're doing work, that you're on the right path. Your problem is that when this comes up, when old Shitty makes its head rear, you think something's gone wrong. And y'all, it's not. It means you're going after your dreams. You're trying to figure out what to do. You're failing over and over again on your way to success. You're doing everything you need. You're making this louder and more clear and distinct. And when that gets louder, more clear and distinct, you get more opportunities to practice knowing who you want to be. And helping old Shitty relax and not have to come back as often. That's how we want it. We want to turn down old Shitty because we've practiced the new believing so much and that your brain starts accessing it. We don't want old Shitty to go away because we started eating and turned him off. We're just like, you know what? I'm going back to how I was thinking. I'm going back to my just getting by life, not if I just don't journal, I don't have to think about it. That's always easier. There's no tension. There's no tension between who you want to be and who you are. There's no growth. There's no figuring it out. There's no thinking. It's always going to be easier to not journal. But it's not more fun. It's not going to get you where you want to go. It's literally only going to get you exactly what you have now or worse. And that's it. Well, that was I don't even know how I got on that talk. The Ballers are working on a consistency challenge to work on a habit we individually want to improve. What are some suggestions other than just sharing with each other that we can level up to really make traction? Honestly, I just think that it's just to share it, but only pick one. So I would do this. The Ballers are working on a consistency challenge to work on a habit we individually want to improve. Each of you pick one. You report in daily, but don't just report, I did it or I didn't. If you did it, report in the thinking that got you to do it. Here's what I thought, blah, blah, blah. And say something like, and I'm amazing because of it. Like, let it land, let it solidify as you do it. Trust me, if it feels good, guess what? Your brain likes to do shit that feels good. The more it feels good, the more rewarding it is to be consistent, the more you're going to want to do that. Y'all have to quit waiting for the scale to pay off the consistency. You got to pay the consistency off with your mind. The other thing that I would do is on the days that you don't do it, figure out, say, I didn't do it today. Here is the thinking that got me there. Here's my thing that I'm going to try next. And I'm going to be really proud. I'm really proud of myself because always land with some pride. I need to restart. I wasn't doing all the things and I was going back and forth between No BS and another program. I've decided to commit today and I've already watched all the lessons, but what do you suggest for me with my next steps to get back on a roll with this? I want to do it all and know it all at the same time. And I don't think that's realistic besides the four basics. Y'all quit trying to make it more complicated. Mandy, do not make this more complicated. Why not just do the four basics? Your brain wants to make it complicated. It doesn't need to be complicated to be right. That is the biggest thing I think that we all need to like dissect. Because like y'all think when you get back on track, it's like, oh, back on track means I'm doing it perfect and I'm doing more than just even the four basics. I'm doing like all the things. You know what I would do? Relax. Figure out what got you off plan to begin with. If you were doing good, figure out what got you off. And it is not something. What thinking? So if somebody goes, COVID, it's COVID for sure. Teaching them damn kids at home. We all in the house. That's what got me off plan. Y'all, none of that got you off plan. Your thinking shifted. So when COVID hit, when you had to do Zooms, whatever it is, your thought was, I can't handle it. This is too much. No way I can lose weight and do this. No wonder you got off track. Find the thinking, like write down what thinking got me there. Because the thinking is what will get you on track and keep you on track. When you guys start plugging in that the thinking is what drives all of it, you immediately take control over your life. Immediately. So like for a lot of you, it's like, you know, COVID, that's what happened. That's why I gained weight. It was just so hard. It's such stress. It's so struggly. And you create this big ass bullshit narrative rather than I can't handle it. Here's an easy thought. I don't have to eat over it. Eating through COVID solves nothing. If you thought that every single time you thought it was too much, you couldn't handle it, it's too hard, it's so stressful, I wish it was over. When are we getting back to our new normal? If every single time you're like, oh, wait, I'm supposed to, every time I think about COVID, I'm supposed to be like, not worth eating over. Or what if you just thought, there's no, like, COVID could make me stay in my house, but it can't take my dreams. Optional thinking. We get locked into, we have to think terrible things about certain stuff. You don't have to. There's no rule out there that says that's the way it has to be. You know what our personal rule? We're going to do this at camp. Y'all are all going to come up with your own personal rules. You're going to have 10 of them before you leave camp. It's going to be your guidelines and boundaries to how you fucking live an amazing life. I'm going to teach you all about the beauty of having personal rules. How much freedom they give you. How much peace they provide. I want you guys to think about the next 2 months. How do I want to show up? In a simple way. If you were going to make the next 2 months easy, it would be real simple. You'd wake up 10 minutes early and you'd write out your food plan each day. And your food plan would be comforting, nurturing, well thought out, and set you up for your dreams. And then every time you wanted to eat, you'd ask yourself, am I hungry? And if the answer is no, then you would just be like, what's the best way to care for myself right now? If the answer is yes, then you're like, it's time to eat. And there's no guilt. There's no rule that says no. My body is indicating every rule I need. All of that is thinking. I am giving you guys thoughts. That's it. And a lot of you are like, oh, that sounds so good. If it sounds good, then fucking use it. And guess what? It will not come natural. Guess what? This guy's going to be louder the next time. And guess what you get to do? Like, thank God I heard you. That must mean trying to do something different. So how do I want to think different this time? I do well all week, have a successful weigh-in, then find I sabotage my success. Oh, this won't affect next week. It's okay. Why do we do this? We do that because of those thoughts going unchallenged. You now know your old shitty thoughts that you have. Now you've got to replace them. That's it. One thing that could be going on, Stephanie, if you've not taken the ending self-sabotage course, I would take that one next. One thing that could be going on is that if you want to eat on the weekend and you've done well through the week, it could be that through the week you talk restrictive and you talk depriving to yourself about what you're doing. A lot of you will have great food plans all week long, well thought out, stuff you can do. But your commentary is, I have to eat this. Don't change the foods, change the conversation around it. Rather than I have to eat this or I should eat this, just say, I choose to eat this. I'm so grateful for myself for planning food like this. Like, yo, when I was losing weight, especially the last half, I ate completely different through the first half. And it wasn't because I was restricting and depriving and being like, oh, salads. Like, y'all all think, like, well, you know, I think it's a really restrictive plan. I think that's what's happening. You know, these are the foods. I need to change these foods out. Foods don't make you feel restricted, comforted, happy, sad, nothing. Now, you'll get some physical taste. Everything else is how you're dropping bombs of thoughts on it. When I, like the second half, when I started like eating lots of fruits and vegetables and changing up, like, man, I'm going to eat healthier foods. I didn't sit there going like, ooh, I have to eat this. I mean, you know, the only way I'm really going to get to my goal is if I start eating these foods. I never said that. I think that's why I ended up losing weight. You know how I talked about all those foods? I'm so proud of me. I'm the kind of person now who doesn't have to eat fast food anymore. Oh my God, I'm falling in love with better quality foods. Like, I was so fucking excited for myself. That wasn't the food doing it. It was a decision to be excited for myself. Seriously. I just this is Yasmin. I just rewatched my coaching call with you from September, and I'm so proud of the success I've had since then. One of the things you said was to work on trusting thoughts. I hit 199 today after a whole year in the 200s again and had the immediate thought, great. Now I need to get further away from 200 so I never has to cross that line again. I know I can think something else, but I keep going back to, if I don't keep it up or ramp things up, I'll go back there again. Right. You're going to keep thinking that, but you know that that's an old shitty thought. Of all the things that you could think about 199, you're choosing, like, I have to, you're choosing a pressure filled thought. Why not feel a prideful thought? Like, oh my God, I'm going to lose more because I did the work. I listened to Corinne. I have figured out my shit. There is nothing stopping me now. And anything that gets in my way, I have proven I know how to solve it. Like, you could be thinking about it like that. Super simple. All right, guys, that's all I got time for today. Everybody, please, please, please. If you're a binger or an overeater, come to the call on Saturday. It will be at 10 a.m. Central Time. I'm so looking forward to this. One, I'm just looking forward to everyone who's not met my best friend, Jane. She's amazing. We have been good friends we've been good friends for a while, but she joined PNP in 2009 after a miscarriage, binging her face off and trying to fix herself. And we've just been friends for a long time now. We went through life coach school together. We went through master coach training together. And that's when we really, I think, fell in love with each other. That's when we got super, super close. We were friends before that. We were good friends, but we really, really, you don't go through something like that. She knows everything about me. She's the one person I probably tell her even more, not tell Chris a lot, but I probably even tell Jane even more about me. She's my, as my mentor says, my want match when it comes to wanting to talk about thought work, wanting to talk about my thoughts and all this other stuff. It's not that I don't feel like Chris can handle it or whatever, but I just know that he's not as interested in my old shitty thinking as Jane is. She loves it. So I'm excited that she's going to teach you guys because she has really worked on her binging for a long time. And even though she still binges occasionally and stuff, she's in such a good place about it. And it's going to be such a gift to have her here. So it's exciting. All right. I will see you guys on Saturday. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.